Namaskrityana Ramchevanarotamam Devim Saraswatim Yasam Tito Jayam Udivayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Chapter entitled Rahugana Converses with Jad Bharata, Text Number 4. Nivasatoya Dravinatma Buddhis Tatastato Davati Bhavatavyam Quachit chavat yotita pansudumra Disho na janati rajas falaksha Nivasatoya drivinatma buddhi Tastato davati bhavatavyam Quachit chavat yotita pamsudumrya Disho na janati rajas falaksha Nivasatoya dravinatma buddhi Tastato davati bhavatavyam Quachit chavat yotita pamsudumrya Disho na janati rajas valaksha Nivasa.
Nivasa.
Residential place.
Residential place.
Toya.
Toya.
Water.
Water.
Dravina.
Dravina.
Wealth.
Wealth.
Atma Buddhi.
Atma Buddhi.
Who considers these material things? The Atma or Self.
The Atma or Self.
Tata
tata,
here and there. Davati, he runs. Bo, walking. Atavyam, on that forest path of material existence. Quachitcha,
and sometimes.
Vacha,
by the whirlwind.
Utita,
raised.
Pamsu.
Pamsu.
By dust.
Ndumra.
Appear. Smoke covered. Disha. The directions. Na. Not. Janati.
Knows.
Rajabala Aksha.
Rajabala
whose eyes are covered by the dust
of the wind,
or who is captivated by his wife
during her menstrual period.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and servants, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Translation responsibly. My dear King, the merchant on the forest path, of the material world.
Of the material world.
His intelligence victimized
by home, wealth, relatives,
and
so forth,
runs from one place to
another in search of success.
Sometimes his eyes are covered
by the dust of a whirlwind.
That is to say,
in his lust,
he is captivated by the beauty of his wife,
especially during her menstrual period.
Thus his eyes are blinded,
and he cannot see
where to go
or what he is doing.
Purport.
It is said that household attraction resides in the wife because sex is the center of household life.
Yan maituni maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tuchcham.
A materialistic person making his wife the center of attraction works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, kamis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of household life engage in sex only once a month, at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra, because the Jyoti, or effulgence, of the material world comes from the different stars and planets. The science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, sun, and moon, witness the activities of the soul. Thus, he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are not being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of simple activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires.
Amagyan Tivanandasya Ginanjina Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati swa padanti kam. Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindubi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare.
So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the opening verses, it describes that the Bhagavatam is spoken, one of the primary reasons is to distinguish between matter and spirit. What is the difference? That which is sat, which is eternal, and that which is temporary. Because that is why we are trapped in the material world. Because we cannot differentiate between what is eternal and what is temporary. And basically everyone in the material world thinks that everything here will last permanently. That is called maya. Maya means that which is not. That's illusion. That we think that everything will go on forever and ever and ever. And then pseudo-religion, or materialistic religion, Prabhupada called churchianity and other things, they extend this philosophy. When you die, you'll all go back and your family will be together, but you'll be in the heaven, in the spiritual world. And you can eat all the fruit that you want. Everything is free. and your family will be there, and God lives over on the hill, over on the side, and you can go and visit him and have picnics. So people have this kind of conception. So it's materialism, because it's all based on the body. The body is false, the body is temporary. That is Maya. Maya means we think something is other than what it actually is. So we think we will live eternally in this material world. So the Bhagavatam is spoken so that you can understand the difference between matter and spirit, right? Reality and illusion. That's why Krishna begins the Gita, Asochanam Vasochastvam. The first thing he says, you're not the body. He differentiates between matter and spirit. We have to realize this at some point in time. At the moment, we haven't realized it. It's not vijnana, it's not realized knowledge. We have a theoretical understanding. But we still, every day, we act on the body, the platform of the body. We identify with the mind and our body and our ego and our intelligence on a daily basis. So we're not liberated souls. We're not jivan mukti, someone who is liberated from this material world. So that's why the Bhagavatam is spoken. And this particular section, spoken by Rahugana, spoken by Jadbharata to Rahugana, is for this purpose, to breed detachment in your consciousness. So if you study these verses very carefully, they will breed detachment in your consciousness. You become detached from this material world. That's the purpose. That's why the Bhagavatam is spoken categorically. Right? There's 330 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? The 10th canto has 90 chapters. Right? And then, if we look at the 11th canto, part of the first canto, part of the third canto, the chapters directly pertaining or connected to Krishna himself, right? It's over 100 chapters. So it's over a third of the Bhagavatam. So then sometimes people ask, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj, or why didn't Shukadev Goswami? Parikshit Maharaj only had 7 days to live. Why didn't he just start speaking about Krishna's pastimes? He could have just started there. You only got 7 days to live, what are you going to hear about? Krishna's pastimes would be highly relishable, highly, appropriate at that time. Just to hear about Krishna's pastimes. But no, he speaks categorically. And Prabhupada says this in the introduction to Bhagavatam. You have to study it categorically. There's a reason why it goes the way it goes. Right? You have to go from canto 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through. You have to gradually understand the Bhagavatam. And there's a purpose for that, because Prabhupada says when you get to the end of canto 9, you should be a God-realized soul. You should realize God at the end of the 9th canto. And I've read the 9 cantos, and I'm not God realized. So Prabhupada says, read my books 3 times. And then even some devotees do that, and they're still not God realized. So it's not a quick thing, or an easy thing, or a cheap thing, but that is the process. So we go through the first 9 cantos, we should become a God realized soul. So it is spoken categorically. And these instructions are very important because they will breed vairagya in your consciousness. Vairagya vija nija bhakti yogena. Our Sadhavan Bhattacharya says that Lord Chaitanya's bhakti, the system of devotion that he came to give, is fortified or supported by vairagya and vija. You need vairagya. You need detachment from this material world. So that's what these verses are speaking about. How to become detached from this material world. So the Bhagavatam speaks very directly. This verse is a very direct verse. It doesn't speak in a roundabout way. It goes very direct. So what is the problem? Right? Prabhupada used to say this all the time. What is the problem? And devotees would say when they were sitting with Prabhupada, there was no problem. Prabhupada said, what is the problem? And while you're sitting there, Prabhupada, there is no problem. There is no problem, Prabhupada. But when you walk out the room, you're back in the material world. You're dealing with your mind once again. So what is the problem? Srila Prabhupada says, public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Kama Esha. Krodha is Rajagunu Samud Baba, born from Rajagun. What is the predominant mode in the material world?
It is Rajagun.
Right. Mainly it's Rajagun. Sattva is there and ignorance is there, but mainly it's Rajas.
You have to learn to control Rajas. Otherwise it will control you.
And then, what is the product of Rajas?
Karma and Krota.
Who is Krota? Anger. His name is Kamanuj. Just like you have Ramanuj. Ramanuj means Lakshman. Who follows Ram everywhere? Lakshman. Ramanuj. Wherever there is Ram, you just look behind, there's Lakshman. So who is Kamanuj? Krota, anger. Right? Why are we angry? No. Hands up if you need to do an anger management course. No one? Okay, very good. But many people do. Anger is a big problem in this world. Very, very big problem in this world. Everyone is angry. Why? Because it is Kamanuj. It is following lust. Where does anger come from? Unsatisfied lust, unsatisfied desire. You don't get what you want, you become angry. That's why no one put their hand up. I said, who has anger management? Because you're learning how to deal with it. You're changing your desires. The beginning of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, you can't stop doing anything for a moment. You cannot be desireless. That's not possible. You have to be desireful. What is that conversation you're having with? You have to be desireful. Right? We all have desires. You can't stop that. But now you have to purify it or change it or connect it to Krishna. That's the process. So that is how you overcome your material desires. And you'll become angry if your desires are frustrated. But then when you come to Krishna consciousness, you change your desires to make them for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And in that way, then you become purified of your material desires. Desires cannot go away, but then you purify them, you make them Krishna conscious. And then the more that you desire to do things for Krishna, then the more purified you become. Prabhupada said, I think he was here in Melbourne, Prabhupada said, you have to go to the place where they are selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. So that's not really why we joined the temple. Right? When I joined the temple, I wasn't coming here to get anxiety. That wasn't my... actually, it was the opposite. I came here to get peace. But then, the devotees start selling the anxiety to you. Oh, Prabhu, can you buy some of this? You say, yeah, sure. You trust the devotees. You think they will sell you the right thing. But then they give you more anxiety, more anxiety, more anxiety. You have more responsibility, more service. But one Prabhupada disciple told me a number of years ago, you only make advancement in Krishna consciousness when you take up responsibility. If you don't take up responsibility for ISKCON, for this mission, the Sankirtan movement, you don't make advancement. It's only when you take up the responsibility, that's when you become purified. That's when everything changes and the purification takes place. So therefore, it is being said here that you have to purify lust. Lust is so powerful in this world. Krishna says it is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the world. Prabhupada says, public enemy number one. We have a big problem with lust. And even when you think you've got on top of it, and it's gone away, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it rears its ugly head. Comes up like a dragon out of nowhere and goes, you thought, oh, my lust is gone. Or I have control of it now. And then one day it just comes back and it's there and it looks you right in the face. Right? And I will control you. And then you're scared. You thought, oh, yeah, I thought I had dealt with this person. But he just comes back again. Yeah, it's very deep within our consciousness. So where does this stem from? Where does lust stem from? Where does it come from? It comes from the desire to be separate from Krishna. Because we want to be separate from Krishna. Why did we come to this material world? Because we wanted to forget Krishna. Now we're here, we have to deal with it. We have to change our consciousness once again. So these are very nice instructions that Rahugana is giving. He's saying where lust is found. So, Prabhupada says, it is said that household attraction resides in the wife because sex is the center of household life. Right? Why do we get married? We get married because we identify with the material body. It is avidya. Right? Because you think you are the body, then you get married. If you don't think you're the body, you don't need marriage. Prabhupada said you need marriage as much as you need a material body. How much do you need a material body? You don't need one. But we want one. Therefore, Krishna gives us one. So do we need marriage? No. But you think you're the body, then you have material desires. Then you have to regulate it. That's why we get married, to regulate the material desires. Otherwise, the material desires are very, very powerful. They overcome the consciousness. Krishna says in the beginning of the third chapter of the Gita, Michacha. Michacha means a pretender. You can put on saffron and you can act like you're very renounced. And everyone feeds you doshas and idlis. And you think I'm very detached from this world. But actually in your heart, you may be meditating on the opposite sex. And then that is michacha, that is pretense. So therefore, Krishna says, chatur maya, what is the verse? Chatur vanam maya shustam. Chatur maya. I did a fast yesterday, a cleanse. My brain is working at half speed. You know, when the computer's warming up, you know, sometimes it doesn't like, so it's working hard. Chaturvanya maya shustam. Krishna said, so I give you four options. Right? If it's too much, because technically speaking, we should all just be sannyasis. That's actually our philosophy. Sava daman purujajam, amekamchak, that's sannyas. Just surrender to me alone. We should all, and actually the outside world looks at our movement as sannyas. Whether you're a brahmachari or a brihasta, whatever you are in ISKCON, technically you're a sannyasi. Because your mind, your body, your words are being used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada even said, there's one letter where he says, the grihasthas are better than the sannyasis. Because they're living with the wife, whereas the sannyasi is not living with the opposite sex. They live with the wife and they still control their senses. So either way, that's why Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakura says, he said, brahmachari grihasta. Or Grihastha Brahmacharya. Grihastha life still means you're practicing renunciation. So, that's why Krishna gives you the options. Okay, you have the disease of lust, the public enemy, number one. He's in your consciousness, the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the material world. He's in your consciousness, okay. Then marriage is there. If you can't control it, if you can control it, perfect. Right? Then focus on Krishna. My Guru Maharaj, who was a sannyasi, he took sannyasi in 1972. he had a realization he wanted to become a sannyasi. He was actually a householder. He was married for about 2 years. But then he had a realization he wanted to be a sannyasi. So he came to Prabhupada. There's a whole lila, a whole pastime with Prabhupada. He said to Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada said, you can't. You have a young wife. You have to look after her. But then he was very persistent. Prabhupada was testing him. He was very persistent. He wanted to take sannyas. And then finally Prabhupada said, I can't. You have this young wife. And then he said to Prabhupada, he said, well, she'll be upset anyway. If I leave now, if I leave later on, she's going to be upset anyway. So better I do it now. So then Prabhupada said, okay, we'll do it tomorrow. And he said, you have to get your cloth dyed. And he said, already done. He said, you have to get the danda. He said, already done. He prepared everything. And Prabhupada said, okay, tomorrow for sun punching in Jayapur, in Radha Govinda Mandir compound, took sannyas. So, he told me one time, actually upstairs, just upstairs there, he said, there is no satisfaction in householder life. He said that to me. He said there is no satisfaction. There was a couple of householders outside his room. They were talking. And he was listening to the conversation. And they were advanced devotees too. They weren't like neophyte devotees, but they're householders. But they're talking. And he looked at me and he said, there is no satisfaction in householder life. He said, there's a waste of energy. So technically, all of us should be like that. That's full surrender to Krishna. You give up everything, you discern to Krishna. But, okay, we're not on that level, so then Krishna gives you, okay. This is the option. There's always an option. Krishna's a very fair personality. And you see, that's what the problem is in so many of the religions in the world, the Catholics, and they're having so many problems now, big problems, because they just give one option. Okay? You want to be a priest, you have to be completely celibate. That's not easy for most people in Kali Yuga. Whereas in the Gaudiya tradition, then we give options to everyone. Okay, you can't be a sannyasi. Okay, no problem. You can be a brahmachari. You can't be a brahmachari, no problem. You can be a grihastha. You can't be a grihastha, no problem. You can be a vanaprastha. You can't be a vanaprastha, no problem. You can become a sannyasi. You can't be a sannyasi, no problem. We'll take you back to the spiritual world. Or you can become a babaji. Prabhupada even gave babaji initiation a couple of times to a few devotees. But at least one of them could not maintain it. Very good. Prabhupada said, just chant. Gave babaji initiation. A person is going to leave their body. Prabhupada said, just chant babaji. But then they found out that the disease went into remission and then they left the movement. So that's a very high level to become a babaji. But this is what the Bhagavatam is pushing us towards. The Bhagavatam is pushing us towards full renunciation. From whatever ashram you're in, whatever situation it's full renunciation. My Guru Maharishi said, when he was giving a lecture in New Gokul many years ago, and then he was giving a initiation, it might have been a marriage as well, I think. And he was explaining that the purpose of this married life is to become detached. Actually, that's the purpose. The purpose is not just to enjoy your senses on and on and have lots of kids and get a helicopter and and a spa bath and drive a Tesla. That's not the goal. The goal is to become renounced. And he actually said, after 25 years of being a grihastha, if you're not feeling renunciation, something is wrong. You just have a group of kids, right, and a wife or a husband, you're going to feel renounced after a period of time. That feeling should be coming naturally. You say, that's enough. Okay, enough. Right, kids are married now. Okay, enough. Now just let me chant peacefully. That's the system. All of us are meant to be coming towards that. And you have to make sure that regardless of the ashram you're in, that feeling of renunciation and that feeling of complete detachment and surrender to Krishna is manifesting in your consciousness. Ashram is external. That's not a big thing. I was actually listening yesterday while I was driving on the way. At the moment, I'm listening to there's Prabhupada memories. So many Prabhupada disciples speaking about Prabhupada. Very nectarian. We learn so many things. Things I didn't even know that Prabhupada said. So many things I'm hearing. And Madhudwisa Prabhu was speaking. Madhudwisa Prabhu was the one who brought this temple. Right? So he was speaking. So he was a sannyasi. Right? And then he left. And when he left, he didn't go and see Prabhupada. He didn't go and say goodbye. Or he didn't say, Prabhupada, I'm becoming a grihastha now. Because he felt ashamed. Because Prabhupada, he was very close to Prabhupada. Prabhupada once said about Madhudwisa Prabhu, Tamal Krishnamurti said that Prabhupada was always asking, where is Madhudwisa? Where is Madhudwisa? And then Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, he said, why do you always ask for Madhudwisa? And he said, because of all of my big men, he is the only one who is not envious of my position. Very interesting he said that. So he's always saying, where is Madhudwisa? Where is Madhudwisa? Right. So he left, and that hurt Prabhupada. Because it wasn't just losing a disciple or a sannyasi, it was losing his son. Prabhupada he had such a love for Madhudwisa. Madhudwisa Prabhu said after he organized Rath Yatra in San Francisco, 1968, 69, or
67, very early.
He said, after the Rathiyatra, Prabhupada got in the car, and Mother Teresa came to the car door to, you know, offer Prananda Prabhupada. Prabhupada grabbed his head and put his head on his lap and just held his head on his lap and was just massaging his head. He said, this was first class. This was first class, this service. He said, Prabhupada was so affectionate toward him. Imagine Prabhupada doing that to you. Putting your head on his lap and just rubbing your head. You know, I think I would lick my body at Prabhupada. I've been in so much ecstasy, I've just... You know, there's so much affection that Prabhupada had for him. So he left, and he went to Hawaii, and he got married, and he had a son. And then, he hadn't seen Prabhupada. He didn't say goodbye when he left. You know, he was writing to Prabhupada. It wasn't like there was no connection, but, you know, but he felt very ashamed and embarrassed because, you know, he was a sannyasi. So then he comes back to Vrindavan in the last year because Prabhupada's going to leave. So he comes back to visit Prabhupada and he walks in and Prabhupada was so happy to see him. Right? And Prabhupada, he thought Prabhupada was going to chastise him, right, or say something, you know, why did you leave or what. Prabhupada said, where is your wife? Prabhupada said, where is your wife? Why didn't you bring your wife? He said, oh, Prabhupada, I didn't bring her. He said, oh, why didn't you bring your wife? He wanted to meet the wife. He wanted to have some association, give blessings. And then Prabhupada was telling the story about Gajendra. He said, and he made him, he didn't reject his disciple. He said to him, you know, if you can't fight the alligator in the water, go back onto the land. No problem. He wasn't even upset. You know, he became so, he just became Grihastha. He said, where is your wife? He said, as long as you're practicing, that's all that's important. Just follow my teachings. That's all that's important. Whether you're Grihastha, Sannyasi, that's external. And then he's, because he'd had his first child. So he said, what did you have, boy or girl? He said, oh, Prabhupada, I had a son. And he said, why didn't you bring him? I wanted to meet your son. He said, what did you call him? He said, oh, Prabhupada, I called him Abhaycharan. He said, I hope that is okay. Prabhupada said, very nice. This is Prabhupada. Right? Doesn't reject people. Doesn't, you know, look down on the Grihasthas. One time Prabhupada was in France walking, and he, you know, all these disciples were with him walking, and then many Grihasthas there. Prabhupada turned around and said, why are the Grihasthas always in Maya? Yeah, Prabhupada would just say these things sometimes, just randomly. Makes sense. Just stopped, put his cane down. Why are the Grihasthas always in Maya? Imagine Prabhupada said that to you. You know, we're all there. Prabhupada says, you know, we're just, everyone's looking at Prabhupada. You don't even know what to say. And Prabhupada said, that is all right. That is their position. Because if you're a Grihastha, you're in Maya. You're a brahmachari, you're in Maya. Even sannyas. Sannyas is sadhana. Sannyas is not perfection. It's a sadhana. Even the sannyasis are not completely out of Maya, necessarily. To be out of Maya, that's a very exalted position. That's asakti, or bhava, bhakti. Right. The prema means total obliteration of Maya. So this is the point. The point here is that Jad Bharat is speaking to Rahugana, right, to breed renunciation in him. Because he's attached. He's a king. He's a Grihastha. So he said, come on. Break your attachments. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago. Gaura Chandra. Wale. Lord Chaitanya is telling us, wake up. Wake up. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? But if you're a Grihastha or Vanaprastha Brahmachari, Sannyasi, there's no particular advantage, actually. There's actually no particular advantage. You know, I've been in two of the ashrams so far. Right. I think I'll only be in two in this lifetime. No, there will be another. Or maybe Vanaprastha. Maybe that. Sannyasi, unless Krishna's got a special plan for me. We'll see. Remember when I was a young devotee, I thought, yes, Sannyasi, definitely. But as you get further down the track, you think, oh, maybe. Or you think, oh, probably not. Or that's not realistic. Like that. But when I was young, I thought it was necessary. I thought there was no other option. If I don't do that, I won't go back to Krishna. But now I don't. That's not my realization anymore. Right? Whether you agree, house or reference, these things are external. When I was brahmachari, you know, there's sometimes I chanted very nice rounds. I got so much taste. But now I'm grihastha. Sometimes I chant very nice rounds. I get so much taste. So I see it's not the external which makes the difference. It's your attachment, your cultivation of the holy name. Right? Namashraya. Right? How much shelter are you taking of the holy name? That's what's important. Krishna doesn't look at us. When you chant Krishna, he doesn't look down and says, okay, what color dhoti are you wearing? Was that a sari or was that a dhoti you called me? Krishna doesn't look at it like that. He just is what is the intensity? When Draupadi, he didn't say, I said in the Bhagavad Gita, the women and the sudras and the merchants, they're low class. You know? Draupadi was calling. So because Draupadi was calling, what did Krishna do? He was there straight away. She called him a number of times. Right? She was in the forest with a pot. Right? And then Devas says, okay, I've got 60,000 for lunch. Right? She has a heart attack. Imagine, 60,000 people for lunch. That's big. That's big. That's huge. 60,000, one pot. Right? Devas says, okay, we'll be back in half an hour. We're just going to take bath, chant Gayatri, we'll be back. Right? What does she do? Right? Complete anxiety. She says, Krishna. Krishna appears. They're out in Kamyavan. They're out in during Vrindavan. They're like right away from Krishna. Then suddenly Krishna is there. He says, what do you need? I've got a big problem today. What's the problem? Same as Prabhupada. What is the problem? Krishna also said, what is the problem? And then Draupadi says, big problem. And Krishna said, not a big problem. He said, what's in the pot? He said, nothing's in the pot. He said, just check. Right? And then Krishna did one grain of rice. Right? Now Devas is full. And then Krishna says to Bhimasen. He says, go and get Devas. So Bhim walks down to the river. I've heard some stories say he had the club on the shoulder. I don't know why he's got the club. He's got the club. Walks down. Bhim says, come on, prasad. Right? And then Devas says, we can't eat anything. We've got indigestion. Right? So they all just grab their dhotis and their gumshas and their cobra and they all run away. Krishna will look after us. So Krishna doesn't care externally. These things are not important. Yeah, brahmachari, that's good. If you're brahmachari, fantastic. If you're grihastha, fantastic. If you're sannyasi, fantastic. Who cares? How much service are you doing to Krishna? That is what is important. What sort of service do you do for Krishna? That is what is important. So Rahugana is breeding renunciation of consciousness. That's all he's doing. He's just saying, come on, give up your attachment to the material world. Which path you take, that's external. That's up to you. As long as you get back to Krishna. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan. Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Mataji.
Thank you for the nice class.
Okay.
Question is that you were saying that lust and unwanted desire is the reason for anger, but what was the reason for Parashuram's anger?
For who?
Parashuram.
Yeah, I didn't explain it fully, but there is also spiritual anger. You're allowed to become angry for Krishna. You're not allowed to become angry for yourself. Krishna says, don't become angry for yourself. But you can become angry for Krishna, that's okay. Okay, so why did Parashuram become angry? Because some people committed some offense. So then he became very upset, he became angry. But he is Krishna. He is Shaktivesha, so he's allowed to become angry. So we can also become angry, just like I've been listening to these Prabhupada memories. So there was, Pragosh Prabhu. Pragosh Prabhu was one of the big book distributors when Prabhupada was on the planet, 1970s. Big book distributor, famous. He was telling pastimes. So they used to go on book distribution. And wherever they went, airports or shopping centres or different places on the street, people, you know, the authorities would always come. Come on, get out of here. You know, you're not allowed to be here. So he said he was at the airport in, might have been LA or somewhere. He's at the airport. So this security guard kept kicking him out of the airport and he kept coming back in the street, Prabhupada's book. And he said, our mentality was, this airport belongs to us. Right, to Prabhupada, to Krishna. So you can't kick us out. We can kick you out, but you can't kick us out. So he kept coming back. So this security guard got him. And he was there. You know, he kicked him out many times. He gets him. He grabs him, throws him on the wall. You know, big security guard throws him on the wall and says, I told you, you don't come here anymore. Right? And he said he was so, devoted to Prabhupada and Krishna. And so full of confidence, you know, being Krishna's soldier, then he didn't even think, you know, he didn't even get scared. He just said back to the security guard, because he thought, you know, this is our airport, not yours. He said, don't you stop me. Don't you stop this. He said, this is, you know, the Prabhupada's mission. He said, you don't stop us. He said, you go away now. So the security guard, like, he big guy, and he was shaken. He was like, you know, because he was so like false. You know, like it says in Bhagavad Gita in the beginning when they blew the conch shells, right? Arjuna's army was smaller. Yudhishthira's army was smaller. Right? And they had big Maharadis on the other side. But when they blew it, their hearts cracked because they got scared. They thought these guys are so... So that security guard, he backed off. And he said, I have to kick you out. The security guard said, I have to kick you out. He said, I can't leave you here because... What you're doing, you know, we've been told by our boss, you can't do it here. He said, I'm not leaving. Right. The security guard said, okay. He said, whenever I walk by, you sit down. Right? You just sit down, and when I go, then you keep going. And then he made some deal. So Pragosh Prabhu went home, went back to the temple. He was brahmachari at the time. He was taking rest, and then he was thinking, while he was taking rest, I can't believe I did that today. You know, just like yell at this guy. So he felt a little bit bad because he thought, you know, I yelled at him and everything. So then next day he goes to one of the devotees, I think one of the Mataji, he says, cook a cake. So she cooked a cake and then he went back to the airport and he went straight to look for the security guard. Didn't start distributing books, just went, and he gave him the cake and he said, listen, Prabhu. I don't know if he said Prabhu, but he said, wait, no, Prabhu. He gave him the cake and he said, you know, I'm sorry. He said, I have to do this service for my guru. And he said, okay, no problem. So you like that. And he said, I read some of your books last night. You know, because so many books in the airport. So he said, I read a few. He said, you guys, you make sense. You make sense. What's in the book is good. So he said, it's okay. He said, just do what I say. You know, when I walk by, you just sit down. I walk by and then you get up and keep distributing books. So you can become angry for Krishna, but you can't become angry for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good question. Yeah. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. We were talking about buying anxiety for Krishna. So if there's a choice between doing good sadhana and buying anxiety,
like 50-50.
Like a peaceful life and buy anxiety.
Oh, peaceful life or anxiety? Yeah, then buy anxiety. Because you won't get as purified. You won't get as purified. Yeah, Prabhupada's movement was not like that. Yeah. You won't get purified. You have to buy the anxiety. There's another letter where Prabhupada says, do not lose your enthusiasm. Right? He said, don't be in so much anxiety that your health goes down, right, and you have problems and you can't chant peacefully. He said, don't be in that much anxiety. That wasn't Prabhupada's vision for the movement. In that letter, Prabhupada says, he said, I'm building all these big temples and all of these projects just to keep you engaged. But he says, actually, the goal is just to go to Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. But he said, because you are not ready for it, then I am creating all these projects. So Prabhupada didn't want us to become so much anxiety that we're losing enthusiasm. That wasn't Prabhupada's vision of ISKCON. Everyone's completely unenthusiastic and burnt out. But he also didn't want us to be just peaceful as well. He actually said one time, he said that if you just worship the deity but don't preach, he said, then you will begin to smoke ganja. Prabhupada said that. Right. He said, if you just worship the deity, but there's no preaching going on, he said, you'll just end up smoking ganja. He said, you have to preach. You also always have to. So buy some anxiety. Right. Some. Get some. And then, like, if you're eating it and you think, oh, it's not so bad, then get some more. Right? And then, but don't take too much that you're just overwhelmed. That's all. TK? Prabhuji, can we bring the microphone back to...
We need to understand the mood of Uttama Adhikari who descends to the Mandan platform to preach. And Krishna mentions, there's no one more dear to me than he who distributes the message of Krishna consciousness to the devotees. So, the devotee is happy to take on that service to satisfy Krishna. And even if it means there's some anxiety, they're happy to accept that, because the ultimate purpose is to make Krishna happy and also to bring others to Krishna. That's the moment of the Uttama Adhikari, who's come down a bit, or not down, but who's... left that very pronounced and that very elevated position, seeing everybody who's been a better devotee than themselves, to that Ajahn platform where they have to discriminate between who's a demon and who's not and who's innocent. So in that mood, one accepts worse. That's the idea, or that's the mood that one should accept things on, because it's pleasing to Krishna. And as a preacher.
Yeah, it has to be balanced. Yeah, Prabhupada, yeah, as you said, the very nice letter. And it used to be out there, actually, used to have that letter. It was in the reception at one point. Prabhupada, do not lose your enthusiasm. That's not the whole purpose of this movement. Prabhupada didn't want to have everyone so much anxiety that we all become overwhelmed. Like, that wasn't Prabhupada's vision.
It was on the calendar.
Yeah, on the calendar. And also, it was actually in the reception at one point. It was on the wall. Any other questions? Yeah. Microphone, can you please?
I have two questions.
You have to turn it on.
I have two questions for you. Firstly, with women, like, they don't really have any other option but to go into grihastha life. Usually that's the case. And so how do you understand that? And secondly, Prabhupada puts in the Bhagavatam as well many times that women are less intelligent, and they're the same kind of very shudra. So how do you understand that as well?
Okay, yeah, good questions. What was the first one? Sorry, just my brain's working half pace. This is Kali Yuga.
Like how women usually have to go into grihastha life. They don't have any option.
Yeah. Okay, so the first question is, the women have to go into grihastha life. They don't have the option of sannyas and like that. There are a few women in our movement who have remained renounced, but it's not the nature of most people to do that, men and women. to be renounced. Like, you know, most of the devotees of Grihastas, why? You know, the men and the women, because that's the nature. Right? So there's nothing wrong with that. But there are several examples of women who are completely renounced. Right? They're like sannyasis. They don't have a dunder and everything, but they're mostly living like that. Mind, body, and words for Krishna service. So you can do it. But we see it's not natural for most people, and it's not natural for most women. So don't push yourself artificially. So you can do it if you want, but don't be artificial. What was the second question?
Why are they classified as less intelligent in the same category as
Shudras? Yeah, it's a good question, because Prabhupada does say that women are less intelligent. There's different ways we can answer, right? One answer is, it says in the Shastra, Kalo Sudra Sambha. Everyone's a Sudra. So who's less intelligent? The Sudras. Who's a Sudra? Everyone. So we're all less intelligent, so what's the problem? We're all equal. All of us are less intelligent. Your hands up if you're highly intelligent. No one's putting their hand up, sorry. What's that? With a mic, sorry.
He specifically says that.
What's that?
He specifically says.
Yeah, he specifically says. Yeah, I know. So that is that Prabhupada does say, but we're not denying that he says that. The best answer I ever heard for that question, the best answer was from Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj. He gives very analytical answers for these things. So the way he described it, the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain, they work differently. One is emotional, one is practical and analytical. Now, men, he explained this nicely, men operate on one side of the brain at a time. Their brain, it's either working on the left or it's working on the right. Like, they get involved in their emotions. You see when men get emotional, they quite often lose control. Right? You see, like, you know, they start wars and they do all sorts of stupid things when they, you know. But when they're on the other side, they're they're analytical. They're very, you know. And women, their brain works simultaneously. So both sides are working. They're analysing things, but they're being emotional. That's why women are better at multitasking than men. Right? My mother used to say that, you know, men can only do one thing at a time, whereas women can, you know, have like 10 things going simultaneously. You know, their brains work differently. So when you look at it, actually, there's advantages to being a woman, there's advantages to being a man. And Prabhupada says both in these books. In the Krishna book, he actually says that women are superior because they're just natural with bhakti. Men can be overly analytical. So Prabhupada says both things in there. He does say sometimes they're less intelligent. So the way that Maharaj explained women being less intelligent, because the brain's working both sides simultaneously, they can be less intelligent because sometimes when they should be analytical, their emotions take over. So at that time you could say, okay, they're less intelligent. So he does write these things, but the way I see it, it's like more of a balanced kind of a situation. And, you know, the longer I've been a devotee, I don't really get hung up on men and women anymore, the whole thing. You know, when I was a brahmacharya, I was very, like, you know, conscious, oh, women are different to us and that, but I don't really see it like that anymore. You know, a lot of women, like my wife, is much better at many things than me, and many of the women here, like, you know, they've all got skills that I haven't got. You know, they're probably much better at deity worship, better at garlands, better at, you know, so many management in different ways. So everyone's got, the way I see it in Kali Yuga, it's a very even playing field. So I don't get too hung up on those things. That, you know, women are better or men are better. Just, we look at the devotee. And Prabhupada was actually like that. You know, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj in 74, 75, he was proposing to Prabhupada to kick all the brahmacharinis out of ISKCON. My Guru Maharaj went to Prabhupada and said, we've got to get rid of the brahmacharinis, they're wrecking the movement. He actually said that. Yeah, and it was a big thing. It was like he had a momentum. What's it?
Yeah, send them to Australia.
He actually had a momentum going. Right? And he had like a lot of sannyasis and brahmacharis behind him. It was like it was a big problem in his life. So Prabhupada thought about it, and he was talking about it on morning walks, I think it was 75, in the Mayapur Festival. There's many morning walks, and Prabhupada keeps talking about it. And then, you know, Prabhupada said, I can't not give them shelter. I can't not give them shelter. One time his servant was Harikesh Prabhu, who was a brahmachari, he later became a sannyasi. So he was a brahmachari, And he complained to Prabhupada because he cooked for Prabhupada his lunch. And the Mataji's would come in, you know, into the kitchen while he's cooking. And then he complained to Prabhupada. He said, how can I cook your lunch? The women come in while I'm cooking. I'm brahmachari. And Prabhupada said, go and live in the forest. Prabhupada said, go and live in the forest. If you can't, you know, stand in the kitchen and the woman walks in, go and live in the forest. You've got a problem. Yeah, that's not brahmachari. That means you should be married. Yeah, and later on, Prabhu did get married. You know, so that is, you know, it should not be like that. That, you know, like I said, after being a devotee for a number of years, I don't look at it so much like that anymore. But it's, you know, if you're a good devotee, you can do so. Like, you can do things I can't do. So, you know, do those things for Krishna. I can do things you can't do. So I do those things. If we all work together, we can spread ISKCON. So, you know, women, men, it's not such a big thing. TK? Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
I have a question.
Need the microphone.
How do you answer that question?
It could be a long discussion. But I think, you know, we need to hear these things. You know, and when I heard Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj explain it like that, it very much opened up my understanding of it. You know, because some devotees don't give very good balanced answers to that question. Because Prabhupada does write those things. And now I've been on the street. Yeah, but I'm gonna add some more. So yeah, well, but I just want to say a few more things. You know, like I've been on the street and people have walked up to me that I've sold Bhagavad Gita's to, and then a few days later they come back to me and they virtually hand me the Bhagavad Gita and say, look, it says this. So we have to know how to answer these things nicely. Yeah. Because these things are there. And if you don't have good answers for people, and when I explain like I just explained then, the person says, okay, I can understand that. Right, but it's not easy. So, you want to say something?
I guess, yeah, so that understanding is there that women are more emotional than men. So I guess in that case, Prabhupada says that women are less intelligent.
Yeah.
So I had that understanding as well, but then I just wanted more clarification because you hear it in like lots of places and there's lots of different understandings as well. So it's good to have a solid understanding. A lot of new people as well, you know, it's a bit hard for them to understand.
Yeah, I mean, we can give that explanation that women are more emotional than men. Because generally, you know, you could say that's true. And generally, you could say a lot of people accept that. However, I've said that to a number of women that I've been preaching to over the years, and they don't agree with it. Yeah, because that's the way the world is these days. So even that answer may not fully satisfy people. So you have to be, Prabhupada said when you're preaching, he says it's like breastfeeding. Right? When you're breastfeeding a baby, you have to be very careful how much milk you give. If you give too much, there's a problem. If you give too little, there's a problem. Right? So you have to be exact on what you give the baby. So when you're preaching to people, you have to feel them out constantly. You know, are they taking it like this? Are they taking it like that? And then you have to adjust according to it. So you have to understand it from many, many angles to answer these things. Any other questions? Comments?
Just one.
Yeah.
One tack that Prabhupada would take is that when he was referring to devotees, and he would say that. The reference in the Shastra is for materialistic persons, for those who are not devotees. And he said these statements don't apply to devotees. They're a general classification, but for devotees who are on the transcendental platform, they're actually acting on the platform of liberation, so there's no question of higher or lower. Just a thought. There are various ways of, you know, handling those kind of questions.
Mm. Yes, it's very much about the person you're speaking to. You can't just give one answer for everyone. Like you just say, you know, women are more emotional. I've met women, they just don't agree with that. Because you look at half the men in the world, half the men are crazy. So how can you say women are more emotional? Like some people don't accept that explanation. So you have to be very careful how you present. You have to have a lot of angles that you can present to people. And, you know, like the other day I was hearing one of the Prabhupada disciples was talking about his memories with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was speaking about Grihasthas. And he said, Grihasthas are like this. You know, I can't remember what he said, but he said something like, Grihasthas are like this. And then the devotee was walking with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was very, quite forceful sometimes. So the devotee said to Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, don't you mean Grihamedes? And he said, you are talking about Grihamedes. I am talking about Grihasthas. So, you know, Prabhupada would sometimes say, Grihasthas are like this. He would say, this is the way they are. You know, sometimes he would say that it doesn't matter what you are, we're all transcendental. And other times he would say, why are the Grihasthas in Maya? That is alright, that is their position. So everyone is. Yeah. Just need a mic.
Since we're on the topic, I thought I'd mention why is it always women, like why are they always portrayed to be the issue? Like you can see in this verse, it's like it's solely the woman that's the issue, it's never the man.
Hmm.
And it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, so when was this written? 5,000 years ago. So was the world like it is now? Very different. So we're talking about things, we're talking about a society which was very different then. So yeah, if you bring this to 2021, right, and there's a very strong lean in our statements in our books about men and women, you know, it does lean very favorably towards men, it appears like that. But Prabhupada doesn't often write things like men are less intelligent or things like that, where he does about the women. And our books do say these kind of things. Like the Bhagavad Gita says that women are like tigers and jackals. It says those things. Does it say men are like that? I mean, it does have statements where it says materialistic men are a certain way as well. But there are definitely gender statements about, you know, about women. So, you know, you have to look at it contextually. And then we have to, as Prabhupada did, then you have to implant these things into the modern civilization and modern culture. You know, and it is a challenge for our preaching because people read these things and then they say, well, you know, it says like that. I don't know if I want to join a movement that's like that. So you have to be expert in your preaching. And ultimately, all of us have to get off the bodily platform. Ultimately. Because, you know, if you're just seeing it, if you're identifying you are a woman so heavily, you'll never join the movement. Right. And if you're absorbed in being a man very heavily, you're not going to join the movement either. You have to get above these things. So. But these statements are there, they are challenging. Yeah. But it's a different time, different place, different circumstances.
You also look at the facts, too. Look at realities. And the balance, it's not an equal playing field. So there has to be some acknowledgement of especially that culture and the dominance of the men. The men were the dominant, actors in society and had dominant roles.
Yeah, the world was...
Time for breakfast.
Yeah, the world was very different then. Very different situations. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Jai Ho.